And let's go now to Jeremiah 15. Jeremiah 15. And I'll begin at verse 11. Seems like there's a strong wind blowing pages of my Bible here, so you see it flipping around here. I'm trying to keep them down. Jeremiah 15, 11. The Lord said, "Surely it will be well with your remnant. Surely I will cause the enemy to intercede with you in the time of adversity and in the time of affliction. Can anyone break iron? The northern iron and the bronze, your wealth and your treasures, I will give as plunder without price because of all your sins throughout your territories, and I will make you cross over with your enemies into a land which you do not know. For a fire is kindled in my anger, which shall burn upon you. O Lord, you know, remember me and visit me, and take vengeance for me on my persecutors. In your enduring patience, do not take me away. Know that for your sake I have suffered rebuke. Your words were found, and I ate them. And your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. I did not sit in the assembly of the mockers, nor did I rejoice. I sat alone because of your hand, for you have filled me with indignation. Why is my pain perpetual and my wound incurable, which refuses to be healed? Will you surely be to me like an unreliable stream, as waters that fail? Therefore, thus says the Lord, if you return, then I will bring you back. You shall stand before me. If you take out the precious from the vial, you shall be as my mouth. Let them return to you, but you must not return to them. And I will make you to this people a fortified bronze wall, and they will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you. For I am with you to save you and deliver you, says the Lord. I will deliver you from the hand of the wicked, and I will redeem you from the grip of the terrible." Our text I have is Jeremiah 15, 16 there. We'll go back and look at that again. Your words were found, and I ate them, and your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. At first glance, this text appears to be a part of a passage of praise to God, but it is actually a part of a passage of complaint to God. This is made clear when we see the verse in its entire context there. But before we look at that in its context, let's briefly consider the text by itself. Really quite remarkable. First, Jeremiah says, "Your words were found." Jeremiah had God's written word, that is the Bible. He had all of what God had inspired men to write up to that time. Then, of course, Jeremiah had special revelation. Jeremiah was himself an inspired prophet of God. Then our text tells us what Jeremiah did with God's word. He ate God's word. Jeremiah could not say "learn" because that would not express his experience. He had to say "ate." Jeremiah did not superficially study God's word. He spiritually and intellectually digested it, devoured it, and digested God's word so that it became a part of his being, a part of his soul. Then our text tells us that God's words became for Jeremiah a joy and the rejoicing of his heart. The effect that God's word had on the center of Jeremiah's being was one of joy and rejoicing. The word which Jeremiah had to preach was one of destruction for the tribe of Judah because of their sins. The first part of our text before showed that. He called them to turn away from their sins and turn to God, but very few turned. He's called the weeping prophet because he knew God was going to judge Judah's sinfulness by bringing Judah into captivity to Babylon. So the only thing that Jeremiah had to rejoice about in God's word to him was that he himself was saved, and that God would deliver him from his enemies while he preached to Judah that they should turn to God. And we must not forget the privilege he was given in preaching God's word. Then the final part of verse 16 says, "For I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts." When Jeremiah preached God's word, God's message, he was called by God's name. What a glorious thing. As we consider Jeremiah 15, 16 in its context, we will see it is a passage of complaint to God and not praise. In verse 15, we see Jeremiah wants God to take revenge on his persecutors. In verse 17, he speaks of how he sat apart from the sinners because God had filled him with righteousness and with anger against sin. He no longer has joy in rejoicing, but in verse 18 he says he has perpetual pain and a wound that will not heal, and he says it seems that God is unreliable because of the condition in which he finds himself. There we see the context of those words of praise. As we go on, verse 19 through 20, when we see God's answer to Jeremiah. In verse 19, God tells him, if he will return to God, he will again be brought into God's presence and will still be able to preach salvation to a precious few who will believe. God is telling Jeremiah, he's not changed. He hasn't changed. It is Jeremiah who has changed. Remember, God says in Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord, I do not change. Then in verse 20 and 21, he's told, when he returns to God, he will once again be invincible. Invincible in his preaching God's message, because God will deliver him from his enemies. Christians, brothers and sisters, we can learn a great lesson from Jeremiah. By God's grace, many, hopefully all of us, have repented of our sins and believed in Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord. We have found God's word. Not some special revelation, but God's word. We have his completed written word. And what happened? We know what it is to eat God's word. It becomes our spiritual food. We have our private study and Sunday school and hear sermons as tonight. And we have his word has become the joy and rejoicing of our hearts. We find out that we were lost and now we are saved forevermore. Our greatest problem has been solved forever, our sin problem. We're not going to hell now. By God's grace, we have spiritually digested God's word, and now it is a part of our souls. As we hear God's word, as earlier we sing God's word, and we just praise God for how he moved and gifted musicians and lyricists to say these things that we know what they're talking about. That's it, that wonderful hymn. Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. We know it, and we sing it, and we think, yes, praise him. El Shaddai, God Almighty, is our Savior. And we know what it is to tell others the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we are called Christians. We are called by the name of God, God in the flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, even with all of that, we still might fall into the sin of complaint and self-pity. We too might become dismayed or shattered. The word has that feel to it, shattered by circumstances. We might cease to rejoice in God's word. That's why God saved this for us in his word, to consider it tonight. We might fail to see how we should praise God that we have been counted worthy to suffer for his name when we teach his word. And if we ever find ourselves dismayed or shattered and complaining against God, let's run from that sin. Run from it by God's grace. Let's remember that God has not turned away from us. It is we who have turned from him. Our sovereign God never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The gospel, God's word, never changes. And we should not get so caught up in judging the sin around us that we forget to deal with the sin that still dwells within us as long as we are in these bodies descended from Adam and Eve. We should not forget that God owes us nothing but his wrath. We're not saved because we're better than anyone else, but only because God has had mercy on us and shown us our sin and given us the gift of faith. So we're able to repent of our sin and trust in Jesus. Now, we're not going to be free from the battle of sin within ourselves as long as we're here in these bodies. But we are free from eternal punishment in hell for our sins. And we have God's word to guide us through this evil, dark world. Let's continually rejoice in the gift of our salvation, for there's no greater gift in all creation. The world is looking around. There, how many lotteries? I remember hearing about people. I remember when I was in Wild, this lady who worked in the 7-Eleven, how much money she spent on trying to win the lottery. And people all over the world trying to win this. If I only had this, if I only had... We have got it. We have got this treasure anyone could have. We're being saved from our own sin. We're not going to burn in hell by God's grace. We, like Jeremiah, have to teach the bad news of the Bible, that God is going to judge sinners. But we also have to teach the good news of the Bible, that God has provided salvation in Jesus Christ for all those who by his grace will repent and trust in him as Savior and Lord. So, let us not grow weary in well-doing, even though most of the world today, just as in Jeremiah's day, will reject God's message, even laugh at us and mock us and try to belittle us. Let's rejoice that some will be saved because God's elect must come to him. He must come to them. We must not fear for ourselves when we tell people of their separation from God because of their sin and their need for Jesus Christ alone for their Savior. No, we must not fear for ourselves, but we should rather fear for the people we witness to, because what they do with this message from God that we tell them will determine whether they will spend eternity in hell or in heaven. Fear for them. Fear for them, not yourself. And now, we have seen that as believers, we've been given this greatest gift. And what else is it? It's the greatest task. And we've been given the Holy Spirit to enable us to appreciate the gift. And we need to keep on praying for that, and the Holy Spirit to do that in our lives. Help us to more and more appreciate what it means to be saved. And if we ever fall into the sin of self-pity and complain against God, let's quickly confess our sin, knowing that God is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's return to God. And what will happen? He will return to us, just as he told Jeremiah, and I will return to you. And so Jeremiah 15:16, within its context, if I was going to say, can you give me a sentence that would kind of put it all together? And I think I came up with a fairly good sentence. Maybe you can come up with a better one. I'm willing to listen. But when our rejoicing in God and his word is put in the past tense, our complaining about God and his word will soon be in the present tense. If anyone doesn't know Christ as Savior and Lord, you know it in your head, but you never really have repented and trusted in him as your Savior and Lord. God's reaching out to you today with this congregation. They put me up in this pulpit, and they knew what I was going to say. So not just me saying this, but this congregation is saying, repent of your sins, trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, and you will be saved. May God have mercy on you and give you the grace to believe. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, we come before your throne rejoicing. We thank you for preserving this in your word, your interaction with Jeremiah. And we can see ourselves, Lord, and learn from Jeremiah and how you worked with him. Help us, Lord, to keep rejoicing in our salvation so much, Lord, that we would never complain against you, Lord, or think you haven't given us enough. You've given us your dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. What more can we ask? Everything else, Lord, is just extra. And so we thank you. Help us, Jesus, to love you more and more and be faithful more and more. Holy Spirit, rule in our lives that we may glorify you, Heavenly Father. Do that which we were originally created to do by your grace. And if anyone came in not really knowing you as Savior and Lord, have mercy on them, Lord, and gather them into your kingdom today. And we pray that you'd come soon, Lord Jesus, and pray in your precious name. Amen.